Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day everyone, and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related program that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio on 106.1 FM. Or, of course, you can listen to it on a podcast from any part of the world by going online at wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz and follow to Wellington Capital Irish. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo, and with me in the studio doing the technical job is Marion Grealis, who also does her own programme and does a good job in both fields. We are supported by our sponsors, Peter and Susie McGuinness, the Hutt Valley Irish Society and the Wellington Irish Trust. Over the past few weeks, there has been a few interesting news items coming out of Ireland. RTE, all you have to do is Google that, and there's quite a scandal going on there with all the backhanders, etc. But it was Adele Sweeney spoke about a little bit about it last week, so I won't go into that one. But the other one was concerning our President Michael D. Higgins coming under attack from different sources. The leaders of both two main political parties, that's Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, have criticised him, as well as military leaders and some intellectuals. Why? Well, there has been a conference in Ireland with some high-profile people discussing and putting out reasons why Ireland should change its historical, political, neutral position and at least consider joining NATO. That's the North Atlantic Treaty Organizations. And of course, this has come about in the wake of Russia's illegal invasion of the independent country known as Ukraine. So far, none of the Irish political parties have formally suggested joining NATO. And President Michael D has come out publicly and said that Irish neutrality is sacred, and under no circumstances should the country change its neutrality. The chairperson of this organisation that's looking into all this is a woman by the name of Louise Richardson. She's actually originally from Waterford, I think, and she is an Oxford dame. So the main opposition to the president's comments is the fact that his critics believe that he has no right as president to speak on major political and controversial issues. They believe it is bordering on being unconstitutional. He is meant to act, they say, like the King or Queen of England and divorce himself from big political issues. Naturally, Michael D. disagrees with that royal idea and feels that he has the right and duty as an elected president to speak his views. Now, he has apologised for his outburst to Louise Richardson, this Waterford woman, who originally, as I mentioned, she moved to the United States first and then England, and she is a very, very able woman, and that, obviously, by being Vice Chancellor of Oxford University and many other high profile, that's why she got a damehood, I suppose. Now, the Irish Times has carried out a survey which shows that between 55 and 65% of all age groups in Ireland support Ireland remaining a neutral country, with the largest age group between 25 and 35, both male and female, supporting the status quo. So Michael D has got the public behind him. Anyway, of course, the other thing is, and this is why this conference is going on, Ireland relies on NATO for protection in case of an invasion. And of course, it's only natural that they should be discussing neutrality. Anyway, after that, it's time for a song. And we will have Mary Black singing a song for Ireland. Hope you enjoy it.
Walking on the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests, silver wing they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. So black run down to the sea, living on your western shore, so summer sunsets asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Walking all a day with true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and news, singing songs to pass the night away. Watch the gold darting in the sun, living on your western shore, so summer sunsets asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for love to play. Someone touched the pole, he played a reel that seemed so grand and gay. Stood on Dingle Beach and cast in a wild foam, we found Atlantic bar.
Hope you enjoy that. Mary Black is one of my favourite female Irish singers. Last June, which just gone by, was the anniversary of a few major events in Irish history. All sad ones, as indeed most of our historical events are. The 18th of June was the 225th anniversary of the Wexford Rebellion in 1798, organised by the great Irish hero Wolf Tone. In June, a day of cultural and civic celebrations and commemorations took place in Enniscorthy town, with young men dressed up in the uniforms of the time, red coats, etc., and blacksmiths making pikes, replica ones. There was poetry readings, there was music, and there was songs and the laying of wreaths. A short time after the Wexford Rising, Wolf Tone organised for French soldiers to land in County Mayo at the port of Killala, where they came ashore, joining up with the locals and driving the redcoats all the way from North Mayo through the town of Castlebar, known to this day as the Races of Castlebar. But of course, in the long run, the war was lost as the redcoats brought in reinforcements to win. The French commander was a man by the name of General Humbert, and he was captured and repatriated with his men back to France. But the poor, ordinary Irish soldiers were rounded up and hanged by Lord Cornwallis. At that time, remember that England was the number one world power, the equivalent of America in our world. But just as in Ukraine today, the fire of human freedom continued to burn down through the years in the heart and soul of the ordinary people. Wolf Tone, Dublin-born, Presbyterian, was an amazing man, one of the leaders and one of the founders of the United Irishmen. He was captured in September the same year in Lough Swilly, Donegal, with 3,000 men. He was brought to Dublin, and at his trial in November that year, 1798, he was sentenced to death by hanging. The morning of his hanging, he cut his own throat with a penknife and died a week later in great agony. Some prominent historians believe he was murdered by one of the guards under instructions, and it was made to look like suicide. And I'd say that's relevant because a man of his abilities would surely know how to kill himself, cut his wrists or something like that. Anyway, to this day, Wolf Tone is known as the father of Irish republicanism. He is buried in Bordenstown in County Kildare, which is the site of annual commemorations. He was married with four children. All died young from TB. The 18th of June was also the anniversary of one of the most famous battles in Western history. It's over 200 years ago, yes, the Battle of Waterloo. It was mentioned recently in the Irish Central paper. As most of you will know, that battle was led and won by Irish-born Dublin man Arthur Wellesley, known also as the Duke of Wellington. With him, in that historical battle against Napoleon's 73,000 battle-hardened troops, were Gaelic-speaking, predominantly Catholic regiments. Of course, there were many troops from England and Scotland, as well as Dutch and others, and of course, a Prussian army of 50,000, led by the old warhorse General Blücher, 73 years old at the time, who helped turn the tide against Napoleon and win. The Duke of Wellington was born in Ireland, but he was not of Ireland. He was a British empire builder to the core, and of course is buried in a great stone coffin in St. Paul's Cathedral and in London. where I have visited at least twice over my lifetime. But to give him credit, the Duke, I mean, he graciously conceded in 1829 when the Catholic Emancipation Bill was put before the House of Lords. He said, "It was mainly due to the Irish Catholic soldiers that we, the British, owe our preeminence in our military careers." Because of Wellington's support for Catholic emancipation, it led to his participation in a duel with the rabidly anti-Catholic Earl of Winchelsea. 50% of Irish troops who fought at Waterloo were killed. One of the most famous regiments was the 27th Foot Inniskillen Fusiliers. The Scottish soldiers also suffered a similar fate. 100 years later, November 1918, Irish regiments would again take the field of war at Waterloo. The 2nd Leinster Regiment would be the first British infantry to march across the same battlefield of Waterloo since 1815, after 4 years of terrible slaughter on the Western Front. To quote one English historian, "Ireland was England's great reservoir of manpower for its army, as indeed was Scotland." All I can add is to say it's a sad history of tears, especially for the Irish mothers and fathers that more often than not never seen their soldier sons again. They did not get a stone coffin. Their bodies lie in no man's land on the fields of Europe. Just an afterthought there, both Wellington and the anti-Catholic Earl survived the duel. Wellington fired first, but missed, and the Earl refused to fire and came and apologised to Wellington. Well, there you are. And after that, it's time for a song. "Red is the Rose" by another one of my favourite singers, Liam Clancy.
Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows, fair as the lily of the valley, clear as the water that flows from the Boyne, but my love is fairer than any. And I'll make a vow, and I'll be your true forever. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows, fair is the lily of the valley, clear water that flows from the Boyne, my love is fairer than I. Goes down by Killarney's green woods that we stray when the moon and the stars they were shining. Its rays on our locks of golden hair, and she swore she'd be my love forever. And red is the rose that in yonder garden grows, fair is the lily of clear is the water that flows from the moon. But my love is fairer than I. Tis not for the parting with my sister Kate. Tis not for the grief of my mother. Tis all for the loss of my bonny Irish lass. And my heart is breaking. The rose and in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley, and clear is the water that flows from the moon. But my love is fairer.
Just thought I'd mention there, the Duke of Wellington was the only Irish person to have been Prime Minister of Britain and Ireland. Anyway, a few weeks ago, the Irish Times had an interesting piece about the Irish economy. It wrote, or they wrote, that Ireland must be the only country in the world today that is trying to hide the true nature of its economy, not because it is bad, but because it is so good. Very strong tax receipts show the country is in an excellent position. There is a budget surplus of 65 billion euros over the next 4 years. The manufacturing industries have increased by 70.7%. Just three companies accounted for a third of all corporate tax receipts, and those three companies are believed to be Apple, Microsoft, and Google. The Irish Times financial man says that the government should stash the large surpluses in a foreign wealth fund where they would build up and use the returns on for social issues such as building more homes, etc. I agree. It's an amazing turnaround in Ireland. It's not that many years ago when it was the opposite and the country had a huge debt. Well, let's hope the geese keep laying the golden eggs. Just another little bit in the same article, or just alongside it. 53% of Northern Ireland's exports go to the Irish Republic. That's worth £5.6 billion. And 35% of the North's, that's the six counties of the North, imports come from the Republic, £2.6 billion. There has been a huge increase since Brexit. Just thought I'd mention that. And another story that caught my eye in the Irish Times and the Guardian was that after more than 50 years, the British or UK Supreme Court has ruled that the so-called 1400 men from the 1970s were tortured by the Northern Ireland Police Service. Finally, after more than 50 years, the Northern Irish Police Service have accepted the Supreme Court decision and formally apologised to the families of the tortured men. It's a bit late for one of the victims, Joe Clark, who died just before the verdict. The men had been brutally beaten, forced to wear hoods, endure white noise, sleep deprivation, deprived of food and water blasting or whatever. The High Court has found the police guilty of these crimes. The High Court had actually found them guilty in 2017. But of course, the police service appealed to the Supreme Court and it has taken another 6 years for finally to say that it was torture. What is it with men in uniform that they want to torture innocent people? We had a recent case in Australia where a court found that the country's most decorated soldier was nothing more than a cold-blooded coward and a murderer. He and his men threw an old man over a cliff and shot dead another with an artificial leg and boasted about it. American soldiers have been found guilty of torture in Afghanistan and Guantanamo Bay. And right now, Russian soldiers are torturing innocent people in Ukraine. Will it take 50 years for them to acknowledge that torture? Well, Mary and myself will be off this week to England and Ireland to see family. But Capillage will be in good hands, so continue to tune in. I will go out, fare thee well as usual, and I will go out with a tune, one of my favourites again, called Roisin Dubh, and it's by Mick O'Brien on the Ilian Pipes. Hope you like it.
Listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.